listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skulls in a pool of cerebral spinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Letting go. The emotional pain when an advanced martial arts student leaves the academy. It's a story, or rather a group of stories, as old as the martial arts. It's happened to me. It's happened to nearly every instructor that I know, and will continue to happen for as long as the martial arts is taught. If there's a single phenomenon that perfectly exemplifies the strange soup of science, rationality, status-seeking toxic emotional conflict, and egos that is the human brain engaged in the practice of the martial arts, and is the basis for the existence of this podcast, this is that phenomenon. It comes in many forms. In its worst, it has destroyed academies and led to bitter feuds between other academies that linger for decades and can sometimes even erupt into violence. It's also driven participants and onlookers to believe that claims that martial arts training can build better human beings are bullshit. It permanently changes the environment and feel of a martial arts academy. But in its best form, it can be a catalyst for the founding of new academies of excellent, even groundbreaking quality, and can foster breakthroughs in martial arts technology and training. Or at the very least, introduce to a new part of the world a model citizen and human being. If you own and operate a martial arts academy long enough, you too will experience losing a student that has been with you for a long time. Now, the bond between a martial arts instructor and student can grow profoundly deep and strong. For the student, a longtime martial mentor can have as big an influence on their life as that of a parent. And conversely for the instructor, a longtime student can become much like one of his or her children. If the bond is so strong, why would the student leave? Sometimes it's for a benign reason, the events of life having interceded to force the issue. In these cases, the bond often remains strong, even in absentia. This type of separation might happen because the student moves to another city, or has a drastic job-related schedule change, or loses a job and as a result can no longer afford classes, or experiences a medical problem that prevents any training. It may also be that the student, while feeling nothing but love and admiration for his instructor, wants to try his or her own hand at running the business of a martial arts academy. But the bond between instructor and advanced student can also be broken when more malignant reasons are behind the student's departure. Assuming that the bond was once strong, what forces can break it? Well, ego, money, and sex are all possible culprits. Let's take these in reverse order. It's nearly always a bad idea for instructor and student to get involved in a sexual relationship. If the sex part of the relationship falls apart, there's a really good chance that the teacher-student part will quickly follow suit. As far as money is concerned, there are a number of possible permutations. Perhaps the student is employed by his instructor, and there's a dispute over the pay. Perhaps the instructor is charging more for membership than the student wants to pay. Or the student thinks that he is such an awesome martial artist that it should be unnecessary for him to pay at all to train. But by far the most common cause for a break between an instructor and an advanced student is a clash of egos. Egos? In the martial arts? Yes, I know it's hard to believe, but stay with me on this. What shape might this clash of egos take? Well, perhaps the instructor, despite being knowledgeable and competent, is arrogant, egotistical, and overbearing. I think one reason that this is common in the martial arts is that instructors tend to be perfectionists. While it's good to be meticulous about the way you want things done, perfectionism, if not kept on a tight leash, can quickly morph the instructor into a control freak. The control freak as a martial arts instructor is a not uncommon occurrence, often bleeding over into the instructor feeling that he should control other elements of his students' lives. This is the reason that some martial arts academies and organizations bear resemblance to religious cults, one feature of which is strict control over the lives of its adherents. Again, I know that hardly ever happens in the martial arts, but hear me out. A pompous, self-important instructor may also feel his status as the martial arts alpha male of the academy to be threatened by the presence of a skilled and talented advanced student. In many such cases, the advanced student is, at first, perfectly content to remain under his instructor's tutelage. But the growing, paranoid primate fear of losing status within the group felt by the instructor leads him to behavior that creates a toxic and stifling environment for the advanced student, eventually forcing the issue. Or perhaps the student's advanced status has given him an overinflated ego, and he starts disrespecting the instructor in any of a number of ways, in private, or worst of all, in front of the other students. Oftentimes, both of these stories are true. In any case, we humans are not that far removed from our genetic heritage as dominance hierarchy primates, and this heritage still dictates much of our behavior, whether we know it or not. One feature of such primates is their tendency to form rival factions within the larger group, often rallying around more dominant males. When even the slightest whiff of bad feelings between a martial arts instructor and his top student is perceived, some of the students will immediately begin the process of becoming henchmen of each of them. Of course, there will also usually be some more enlightened humans in the group who simply wish that all of this primitive and adolescent behavior would go away so that they can train in peace. One particularly fraught version of the student leaving the teacher is when the student starts their own academy. Again, this can go more than one way. Here are a couple of vignettes. She's starting her own academy, with your blessing. Not that she needs it. It's just that, well, you remember when she couldn't throw a decent punch to save her life. Now she has trained some serious badasses herself. They came out of your academy, and you were not uninvolved in their education, but she largely trained them. With her proven teaching and organizational skills, you just bet that her new place will be a great school. Now that's one possible story. Here's a darker one. He tells me he's starting his own academy. This is how he repays me for everything I did for him? Becoming my competition in this market? Hell, he's even taking some of my students with him. I hope his school goes broke. Better yet, I hope that someday one of his students does this to him. No matter how it happens, when an advanced student strikes out on their own, it's seldom what you would exactly call a happy day for the instructor. But think about it. As an instructor, in one sense, this is what you've been training your students to do. At its root, martial arts training is about learning to become more autonomous, more capable of fending for yourself, whether in a fight, in business, or in life. The emotional conflict sometimes lies in the fact that you have become fond of them and enjoy their company and will miss it terribly after they go. But there are positive aspects of this event. If part of your reason for teaching the martial arts is to make the world a better place, and you did a good job teaching your student, there's a very good chance that he or she will have their own positive effect on the world, strongly expanding the effect that your teaching will have, if indirectly. This is also an opportunity to put more effort into helping your other students improve. Over the years, I've had 4 students start their own academies, and with one exception, I couldn't be more proud. It's important to remember that as a parent or an instructor, when one of your children or one of your students wants to strike out into the world on their own, this action is not necessarily a dagger aimed at you. But we humans, with our quirky human brains, tend to be egocentric. Our initial default reaction to any event is something like, how will this affect me? Or, how can he do this to me? Or, what did I do to make this happen? I think it's important to remember that the evolved modern human understands that it's not always about you. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think, and check out old episodes of the Martial Brain podcast at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for the Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or about the Rising Phoenix Academy at my website, rpmartialarts.com.